Good evening. Hope you had a good day. Open your Bibles, please. The 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a great chapter. I'll begin reading with verse 1. Then we'll skip down to verse 7 and read about four more verses. Paul said, "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Notice he said revelation plural. Paul received a lot of truth. Verse 7 is key verse in our text. "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buff me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee." To me, that's one of the greatest statements in the Bible. It's a great statement. "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, well, I'd rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong." Our Eastern Word of Prayer, would you pray right there? As our Eastern Word of Prayer, you can be sick. You pray in your heart as our prayer ultimate. Ask God to help me to be able to be a blessing to you. Now, Father and our God in heaven, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of being back this evening. Thank you for this beautiful, beautiful weather. Thank you, dear God, for the beauty of thy creation. Thank you, dear God, Father, for your presence. Thank you for the reality of God. Thank you for being real to us. In Jesus' name, please be real to us in this service this evening. Father, in Jesus' name, please meet the spiritual needs of everyone in here. Father, for one here lost, in Jesus' name, save that soul before the service is over. Father, in Jesus' name, oh God, please help us be able to reach the millions in this country lost without God going to hell. Oh, God, give us a greater burden, greater love for souls. Bless us, dear Pastor. Thanks for giving us a kindred spirit. Thank you for all the wisdom and knowledge you've given Brother Lawson. Continue to bless him. Continue to give him wisdom, God, to pastor this great church. Father, in Jesus' name, these last days, please give us a spiritual awakening in this country, in our churches. Father, we thank you for what you do. Now, please, God, help me be able to bring this message. Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm preaching on the ministry of the thorn. The ministry of the thorn. See, in the Bible, you have in and through the local church, you have a lot of ministries. You have preaching, teaching, prayer ministry. Some have a bus ministry, a youth ministry. Some even have a deaf ministry. Some churches have a prison ministry and jail ministry. radio ministry, TV. But all of these are ministers to others. But the thorn is a ministry to me and you. It's a minister to us. Now, there's a difference between thorns and trials and chastisement. Trials come and go. They're more temporary. But a thorn is permanent. Once God gave Paul this thorn in the flesh, he carried it with him all the way to the grave. Some of us have some thorns in the flesh that will carry with us all the way to the grave. And I'm going to make a hard statement, but I'm not right. We're better off with them than without them. God makes no mistake when he gives us a thorn. The very fact that the Bible says in verse 7, the middle of the verse, Paul said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. He said, we're given. In other words, the thorn in the flesh is a gift from God. So trials come and go. They're not permanent, but thorns are permanent. Some of you probably have some thorns you carry with you for the rest of your life, all the way to the grave. Now, chastisement is not the same as a thorn in the flesh or even trials. Chastisement is to get the sin out once it gets in. But a thorn is to keep the sin from ever getting in. See, the thing that Paul had to fight here is being exalted above measure. That's pride. And God gave him the thorn to keep that pride out. So chastisement is to get it out once it gets in. But a thorn is to keep it from ever getting in. The minister of the thorn. I'm going to give you several simple thoughts and I'll let you go. I'm going to give it to you just like God gave it to me back years ago. Now, I've been preaching this a lot lately because of this COVID. We're going to notice Paul's privileges, then Paul's peril, Paul's pain, Paul's prayer, Paul's provisions, and last of all, Paul's praise. First of all, we notice Paul's privileges. The Bible tells us in verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. Notice the word abundance of revelation. Like I said, he received a lot of truth. He wrote half the New Testament. Amen. Yeah. I personally believe he wrote Hebrews. Amen. If you have any doubts about whether Paul wrote Hebrews or not, go get H.A. Ironside's book on Hebrews and read what he had to say about who wrote Hebrews. And when you get done reading, if you're not convinced that Paul wrote Hebrews, then that I don't know what it'll take to convince you. I mean, he's got the strongest argument for the fact that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews I've ever seen. So Paul's privileges. So Paul received a lot of truth. Paul had several successful missionary journeys. I believe he had three. And he had a lot of people saved under his ministry. He organized churches. He ordained elders. Then he'd go back and strengthen the believers in those churches. I believe the Apostle Paul is the greatest Christian ever lived. I really believe that. Again, going back to H.A. Ironside, I'm having some trouble with that hiccup. I'll go ahead and preach anyway. Amen. I'll hiccup a while and preach a while. See, we're talking about thorns in the flesh. I think I got a truckload. But anyway, coming back where we were. Going back to H.A. Ironside, I was reading what he had to say about all the sufferings that Paul went through back years ago. And he said this. He said, when I read about all that Paul suffered and all he went through, he said, I feel like I'm just playing at church. I can say the same thing. When I read of all the suffering that the Apostle Paul went through, and he never wavered, never quit, I feel like I'm just playing at church. Apostle Paul, great Christian. Great Christian. So Paul, he saw a lot, he heard a lot, he wrote a lot, he did a lot. Very successful Christian. And if you're a successful Christian, then you'll probably have to guard against the same thing Paul had to guard against, that pride. Paul's privileges. Next of all, we'll see Paul's peril. Look at it in verse 7. Notice he said, unless I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh to make Satan a buck for me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Notice twice in that one verse, Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure. Folks, that's pride. That's what that is. See, Jesus said, he exalted himself shall be humble. Shall be abased. God hates pride, folks. He hates my pride, your pride. God hates pride. See, pride's what got the devil kicked out of heaven. So God hates pride. Takes a lot of grace to keep that stuff out of your heart. But you know, you don't have to be successful just at the ministry to be a candidate for the thorn. You can be successful as a businessman. You can be successful as a doctor, dentist, a nurse, a lawyer. Well, you can be a successful mechanic. You can be a successful carpenter. See, if you're successful at anything, people will notice that, and then they'll start bragging on you, and then the devil will come along and try to get you lifted up with pride. I'm telling you, he's mean. He's mean. A man was bragging on D.L. Moody one time, and Moody told somebody after that, he said he knew better than to do that. Why'd he do that? And here's what D.L. Moody said. He said, it almost turned my head. Paul's peril, pride. See, the Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 6, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven abominations of God. First one on the list is a proud look. A proud look. You take this bottle of water. If this was a cup of water that was about half full, I could probably carry it backwards and forwards on this platform here for a good while without spitting a drop. But fill it up to the brim. You get the matches.
Yeah, that's good.
It's hard to carry a full cup without spitting it. Down through the years, I've tried to make it one of my requests for God to keep the pride out of my heart. I've seen it ruin a lot of preachers. You've seen it too. I've seen that happen. Martin Luther got saved and came out of the Roman Catholic Church back several hundred years ago. made one of the most profound statements I've ever heard or read in my life. Here's what he said. It's a powerful statement. He said, I've often seen God allow preachers and leaders in churches get into the sin of adultery, the judgment upon their sin of pride. I've seen that. I'm not calling any names, but I know of a man up north. He's deceased now, but that's one of the most arrogant men I've ever seen in my life. And in due time, what Martin Luther said happened to him. He got into the awful sin of adultery. I never hit one time, it was a number of us went to hear him. He was preaching a meeting in this church. And when the service was over, on one of the morning services was over, we went over to the dining hall there at the church to eat. We sat down at the table. He was sitting across the table from me at an angle. I could have reached out and touched his hand if he'd have stuck his head out like that and my hand like that. And I sat there, and I tell you one thing, I didn't enjoy that meal. That man bragged and boasted. I thought, I've never seen such an arrogant preacher in my life. And sometime after that, exactly what Martin Luther said happened to him. Adultery got him. I believe it was a judgment upon his sin of pride. Folks, why do we want to go around patting ourselves on the back all the time, bragging and thinking we're something? Because Paul said, what hast thou that thou dost not receive? If you got anything good about you, it didn't originate with you. It originated with God. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no shadow turning. We have nothing to brag about. Paul said, I glory not, save in the cross of Christ, whereby the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Paul glowed in the cross. And as great a Christian as Apostle Paul was, and in spite of all the work he did, all the books of the Bible he wrote, Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. I love that. I love that. That's real Christianity. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, Solomon said, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination of God, and the first one on the list is a proud look. Paul's peril. Then Paul's pain. He said, that was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He said, that was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Hey, that's not comparative to the little thorn on your rose. After all Paul suffered, after all he went through, I don't think a little thorn like the one on your rose bush would cause him to pray like he prayed. I mean, look, look what this man went through. You turn back one chapter, turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I begin reading verse 24. This is an amazing man. He said, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. I think he was referring to what you call a cat of nine tails, nine leather strap with pieces of broken sheep bone in, and lead balls, things of that nature, on a handle. And Paul was beaten five different times with that. What a Christian. Then he goes on and says, verse 25, thrice I was beaten with rods. Can you imagine how painful that would be? The damage that would do? Once I was stoned, yeah, you read about that in the book of Acts, he was stoned and left outside the city of Lystra for dead. And what amazes me is he got up. He got up and he didn't hightail it in the opposite direction. The Bible says he went back into the city of Lystra. That's real Christianity. Somebody been beating on me all them rocks. I probably caught the quickest way out of there. I know what most Baptists, but I notice what most of us Baptists would do if somebody tried to stone us. We'd probably pick the rocks up and throw them back. But he, notice he said, once I was stoned thrice, that's three times I suffered shipwreck. Night and the day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, Gentiles that is, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, the Jews, his own people. They tried again and again to kill the Apostle Paul. They hated him. They wanted to get rid of him. Verse 27, like the first part of that verse, in weariness and painfulness. We're talking about Paul's pain. He said he went through weariness and painfulness. Painfulness. And by the way, when he said, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, what it means is to beat, to slug the person, to beat a person with a fist. God allowed the devil beat him black and blue, day after that, yet he never quit. He never quit. Never did. Paul learned before it's over with that he was better off with that thorn than without it. If you've got one, then God gave it to you. And you're better off with it than without it if you've got one. No doubt some of you suffer every day of your life. It's probably the thorn you've got in the flesh. Now, your thorn may not be my thorn. My thorn may not be yours. Your thorn could be arthritis. Could be rheumatism. Your thorn could be recurring kidney stones. Could be sinus trouble. Migraine headaches, that's a big one. My pastor has some of the worst migraine headaches anybody ever seen in my life. I believe it's his thorn. He's a great preacher, very successful preaching pastor, and I believe God gave him those headaches to keep him humble. Folks, if Paul needed a thorn to keep the bite out of his heart, then no marvel that you and I need one. No marvel. By the way, I like to read. I got a house full of books, thousands and thousands of books. I know what that is. I like to read. And in reading and studying, every now and then you learn something you hadn't ever heard before. You come to find out that if you have kidney stones often, I don't know why it's got to be Webster's grape juice, but you can drink 2 8-ounce glasses of Welch grape juice of that, and it will just about eliminate them. Now, there's your prescription that didn't cost you a dime. Your family doctor probably charged you a lot. But anyway, and then they found a way to cut down on arthritis. Really? Drank cod liver oil. I see some faces and some laughs. Yeah, I'm like you. I think I'd rather have the arthritis than have drunk that stuff. Your thorn could be heart trouble, cancer, it's going to be damage done by that COVID. It's going to be diabetes. That's a big one. It could be a chemical imbalance in your blood or in your mind. Could be diabetes. It's just on and on it could go. The next of all, we'll see Paul's prayer. He prayed about it. And I didn't see this for a long time, but back some time ago I saw this. God did not take Paul's thorn away. He left it with him. But not one time did God rebuke Paul for praying about it, for asking to take it away. That shows you how much God loved Paul. Shows you how much God loves me and you. Jesus loves me, this I know why. For the Bible tells me so. Yes. Sometimes you'll find somebody that, you know, complain about having it hard, and one thing or the devil may get on your shoulders and create a lot of problems for you and get you to doubt in the love of God. But what you need to do is just point them to the cross. If you doubt God loves you, well, look at the cross. But God so loved the world that he what gave? See? God commended this love towards us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. See? That is a proof of God's love. Calvary. Glory to God. So pray about it. You may not know whether it's a thorn or not until you commit it to God in prayer. Pray about it. And Paul prayed about it and prayed earnestly. Notice the Bible tells us in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord. That word besought means to beg. He begged God to take it away. But God didn't do it because God knew what Paul needed more than Paul knew it. I don't know what's best for me. I don't know what's best for you. Only God does. Sometimes what we think is the worst thing could happen to us may be the best thing that's ever happened to us. So pray about it. If you get help, go get it. If you get help, then you were suffering from bodily trial instead of from a thorn. Yeah, pray about it. God knows it. He loves us. He loves the children. Paul prayed about it three different times. And I think of what Jesus said. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Jesus said sick people need a doctor. I came down with that COVID. I didn't tell my family or anybody else. I didn't say, now y'all hold it. I'm going to call Benny Hinn up. Get him to pray for me. No, I didn't do that. As a matter of fact, my daughter, we have such a good relationship, I declare. She's just a wonderful person. She came and grabbed me up, got me in the van, and headed to the hospital. She didn't even give me time to change my clothes. I went over there with both pockets full of keys. And the whole time I was in the hospital, they left me in them same pants and my keys. I tell you, it was a crazy thing. Weird. So Paul prayed about it. Pray about yours. Pray about it. Casting all care upon him, for he cares for you. Cast that burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Amen. Well, I thank God that we can pray. Amen. I still have to pray. Amen. Then we see Paul's provision. Jesus didn't take the thorn away, but he said, hey, my grace is sufficient for thee. In verse 9. I'm not going to take it away, Paul, but I'm going to give you enough grace to rise above it. I'm going to give you enough grace to hold your head up and keep going. And no matter what we have to go through, and sometimes what we go through is very painful, very bitter. If you and I just stay true to God, stay in the church, stay in the boat, stay on your knees, stay prayed up, right up, fill up with the Holy Ghost of God, then it may take a while before you begin to really sense it, but eventually you're going to find God's going to give you enough grace to rise above that. I know what I'm talking about. I'm in this pulpit by the grace of God. So Paul's provision, my grace is sufficient for thee. Man, I love that statement. I love that because I've had to anchor down right there ever since I came down with this COVID. My grace is sufficient for thee. Lord, you said that your grace was sufficient. So I'm waiting on that grace. And he'll give it to you. Paul's provision. Remind me of what I understand to be a true story. Years ago, this man wanted to purchase a Rolls Royce. And I'm not familiar with them. I just understand. I think it cost a whole lot more than my Chevrolet or your Ford. Oh, I pity you. You do know the difference between a Ford and a golf ball. You can drive a golf ball 300 yards. Somebody said them Fords must have some beautiful engines because every time you see one, they got the hood up looking at it. Well, we got to have a little fun. My heart does good like a medicine. So he went to the Rolls-Royce dealership, looked them cars over. He liked what he saw. He had the money, he had the means, you know, to afford one. So he decided better go home and think about it. Just before he walked out the door, he turned and looked at that salesman or the owner, whoever it was, manager. He said, by the way, how much horsepower does this thing have? And he said, I'll look into that. I'll let you know. He said, I'll wire you. I'll let you know. Well, sure enough, the man went on home and the salesman, the owner, whoever, contacted him, wired him just two words, and that's all. The two words were horsepower adequate. There was enough horsepower on the hood of that car to cause it to do whatever the owner would want it to do. And that's enough of the grace of God in Jesus Christ to cause you and I to live right, to do right. There's enough of the grace of God in Jesus Christ to cause you and I to keep our head up and keep going, keep marking designs, to stay in church, stay right with God, even in these last days and in spite of a thorn. Amen. Paul's provision. Last of all, Paul's praise, and I'll be done. When Jesus told him that he wasn't going to take the thorn away, but it's going to give him sufficient grace. Notice what Paul said in the middle of verse 9. Most gladly, therefore, well, I'd rather glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What a Christian. Can you glory in your infirmities? Can you glory in what you're suffering in these days, what you're going through? And then you notice Paul said in verse 10, therefore I take pleasure. man. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, that needs, in persecutions. You read the book of Acts and notice how much this man was persecuted. My, my. In distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. When Paul realized the purpose of that thorn, he didn't fight it anymore. He didn't worry about it anymore. He accepted it. And it helped him instead of hindering him. See, we think, boy, if I could just get rid of this, well, we're better off with some things than we are without them. If we never suffered, folks, we never went through any trials, if we didn't have any thorns, we'd get so arrogant until God and nobody else could get along with us. I love that last statement in verse 10. For when I am weak, then am I strong. God's strength is not made perfect. His strength is made perfect in weakness. I've been preaching up down this country for 50 years now, and I've been telling folks, I've been saying, if God could ever get us weak enough, there's no telling how strong he'd be on our behalf. I believe that. See, you read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and you read where it says, God not chosen many mighty, not many chosen many wise, many noble. It says God chose the things that are not to bring to naught the things that are. God's ways are not our ways. They're right opposite. See, Darwin comes along with the theory of evolution, and he talks about the survival of the fittest. God gives us the survival of the weakest. The survival of the weakest. Now, I'm not talking about being weak spiritually. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about seeing that you are weak in and of yourself, and it's the job just done. God to have to do it. The grace of God to have to do it. That's that message that I love to preach so much on, position of truth. Christ is in me and you to live this Christian life. Glory to God, my friend. I was reading on that again here recently, and God just really met with me. Folks, you can't live the Christian life, and I can't neither. That's what Jesus is in there for. That's Galatians 2:20, which is my life text. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ lives in where? Not just in heaven. Not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who lived and gave himself for me. I'm telling you, Jesus came in to live. He didn't come in to take a back seat. He came in to take over. He didn't come in to watch the show. He came in to run the show. He's well able to do it. I've been preaching this for years and years. Brother Lawson, I've been preaching this for a long time. And God's not shown me any different yet. One of the greatest needs in a Baptist church across America is to see positional truth. That's one of the greatest needs. See, folks, after preaching for over 50 years in churches all down this country, sometimes when I get to church, instead of getting encouraged, I get discouraged. You say, what do you mean? Well, the looks on some people's faces, man. Yeah. You must have, some people make me think they must have buried their best friend that very week. We'll all be the happiest people this side of heaven. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Can you say, for me to live is Christ? Some people have to say, for me to live is my hobby. Some people have to say, for me to live is my house. Some people have to say, for me to live is my wife or my husband or my children. Let me tell you something other. Men, Your wife cannot meet your deepest needs. If you're looking for your wife to meet your deepest need, or vice versa, then you're going to be constantly disillusioned. Because the only one that can meet your deepest needs is Jesus. See, it's easy for you and I to live off of substitutes. Well, you've been very attentive. You may want to do what the Apostle Paul did. You may want to come down here in the invitation and pray about it. That's what Paul did. Would you stand your feet, heads bowed, eyes closed? Musicians will come. I have a word of prayer with you while they're getting ready. And some of you may want to come on the altar now. Now, Father, and our God in heaven, God, thank you, God, for the grace of God. Father, I thank you, God, your grace is sufficient. Father, I thank you, God, that you meant what you said when you said what you did. My grace is sufficient for thee. Father, I thank you, no matter what we have to go through, I thank you, your grace will always be sufficient. Thank you, God, for the grace of God. Thank you for the church family. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this dear pastor. Bless Brother Lawson. Bless his family. And bless his whole church family. Please meet the spiritual needs of every one of us. We're all needy creatures. In Jesus' name we pray.
Page 209, the All-American Church Hymnal. Wherever he leads, I'll go.
I encourage you to come. God speaking in your heart. Don't try to carry your burden by yourself. Bible says, casting all care upon him, for he cares for you. Would you come?